Okay, today we'll be continuing in our Sunday school, looking at the, actually specifically the topic is revival, but understanding the Holy Spirit and how He influences us, okay? Today we're looking at what happens when we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what are the things that we can actually detect that whether we are controlled by the Holy Spirit or controlled by the flesh, okay? Our memory verse is John 12:24. All right, after this, we'll memorize, right? Whoever have memorized. Let's have a word of prayer, and after that, we'll do the memory verse, and after that, we'll go in to influences of the Holy Spirit on our lives. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we can come into your house. We know that it is a privilege. I pray, Father, we're always thankful, that we will always be thankful for the privilege, Lord, of being in your presence, your house, this place that where your people gather, Lord, you are there. So, Lord, we pray that even as we open your word to understand when the Lord Jesus was under the influence of the Holy Spirit, what are the things that he was able to do? And also, Lord, for us as well, as we look at other passages of Scripture, what happens when God's people will allow the Holy Spirit to control them? We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to see that we can live a victorious Christian life, not the life in the flesh, not the life based on what we think. Father, we pray that all of us will have the desire to be controlled by your Holy Spirit, that good fruit may come forth. So we thank you, we pray for those who are still on the way, we ask your Holy Spirit to guide us in our understanding of your word now, and also, Lord, especially in the service to follow later, we pray that everyone that come will have a heart ready to receive your word, to obey it. Well, thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John chapter 12, verse 24. Anyone? Okay, let's try together about that. Okay, John 12, 24. Ready? Verily, verily. One, two, go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, he abideth alone. If he die, he bringeth forth much fruit. Okay? It's a very, I believe the Lord actually gives us a very important picture of spiritual growth. Okay? Like a corn of wheat, meaning basically a seed, okay, goes into the ground. If it doesn't die, the idea if it doesn't die means it's not consumed of itself. If you understand a little bit of seeds and all that, it will actually be eaten up by itself. Okay, but after that, it actually brings forth a flower, it brings forth a fruit. Okay, the key thing is that the seed must die. It must die to itself. It doesn't die to itself, it doesn't die to flesh, it doesn't die to whatever, he will not actually grow. And that's why sometimes, perhaps, sometimes Christians, when they grow, they're a bit half-hearted about following Christ. There's not much fruit and all that. So, okay, well, does it make sense? So it helps us to understand dying to self is a very important principle of the Christian life. It's a very important principle of the Christian, dying to self. What you think, what you feel, what you want, your goal is to actually put it at the cross, let Christ take control, and you'll find that God is able to change us into something much, much better than what we think. All right? God always has a higher plan, but we need Him. We need to die to ourselves so that His life can actually come through our lives. All right? Okay. Now, today we're going to look at the influence of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Just quick recap. Last week we talked about four principles of how we need to walk in the Spirit. The first one is we have the Holy Spirit in us. Okay. The second one is we are to walk in the Spirit. As a Christian, we are not to walk after the flesh. We are not to walk after what we think. We are to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, what does that mean? It means that we have to have a daily consumption of the Word of God. Okay, we must have a daily consumption reading of the Word of God. Okay, if we don't have the Word of God, it's as good as you have nothing to work with. Okay, sometimes we read casually, maybe 5-10 minutes. It's not going to take us through the day. We need to actually read it until it becomes part of us. All right, so as we grow, we're to walk in the Spirit, then we have to obey the Word of God. Once we read it, it's not enough just to read it, but it's more important to obey it. Okay? All SOPs given in companies is to be followed. Alright? We don't just do what we want. We need to follow the particular rules. Okay? And many times Christians take the Bible as kind of take it or leave it. Attendance at meetings, services, we put other things priority. Now, if you have duties, then there's nothing you can do, okay? But if you have a choice, you make the choice of not attending the spiritual meeting, there is a problem with that. Okay, it's actually sin because you have a choice. All right, so it's very important for us to understand once we're led by the Spirit, you find after in the life of Jesus and in the life of the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament, whenever there is a meeting, they are there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there with them. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you will be there. Okay? So it's a daily dying to self. Okay? Walking in the Spirit requires us to die to ourselves. Alright? And then lastly, there's an assurance of victory. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. What happens when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit? We'll start with the life of Christ. Let's start with the life of Christ. Please stop me, all right, if you have any questions. Luke chapter 4. You and I cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Okay? We all are given the Holy Spirit, but we need to depend on Him. All right? Okay, so let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1 first. Okay? Let's read together. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, so the first verse that actually preempts the entire chapter, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he was to the brim. Okay? Now we want to see what are some of the things that happens when you are full of the Holy Ghost. Okay, firstly, you're led by the Spirit. Okay, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. A Christian, the Lord Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led into the wilderness to be tempted. Okay? And sometimes when we go through trials and testings in life, it's a wilderness. You've got to go it alone. You've got to go it alone. But the Holy Spirit brings you there for a specific purpose. Okay? Now, the first thing that happens in the life of Christ when he was full of the Holy Ghost, he was led by the Spirit, was able to overcome temptation. Okay? I won't read the whole thing, but it's from verse 1 to verse 12. You can take notes there. Okay? The Bible says in verse 2, I just read, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he after was hungry. Okay? So all the passage talking about in verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay, the second temptation, showing all the pleasure, all the kingdoms of this world, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. Verse 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. No, actually, you look at the three temptations, all of us face this. Okay, Luke chapter 4. And then Jesus actually answered, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge over thee, and keep thee, to keep thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. When you are influenced by the Holy Spirit, there are three things that happen. You will not succumb to your flesh. The first one was in verse 3, in overcoming temptation. There are three types of temptations here specifically. The lust of your flesh. The lust of your flesh. Now, Jesus was hungry after 40 days. You will be hungry after 40 days. He didn't eat. He was basically fasting. Okay, at the end of the 40 days, he became hungry. Okay, your body can actually go for a period of time without food. Okay, this is important. Your body can actually go for a period of time without food. If you don't eat 1, 2, 3 days, you won't die. I assure you. You have a lot of noise in your stomach, yes. But interesting, after 2 days, the noise actually stops. Okay, the rumbling. What happens is after, if let's say you're a fairly big size, you can actually last a great period of time without food. But after a while, your body actually goes into what we call starvation mode, okay? We eat our habit, most of us. Lunchtime we eat, breakfast time we eat, dinner time we eat. Eat our habit, okay? But then if we don't eat for a period of time, our body can actually last. But after a while, the body actually those are the time that you don't eat, you're actually taking all the food stuff from your, like, the fats and stuff like this, and you start burning up, okay? But it comes a time where the body actually no longer has fats reserves, and it begins to take nutrition from your vital organs, like your kidneys and your liver and all that. And that's when your body goes into starvation mode. Jesus was at that point here, after the 40 days. Okay? Now, at that point of time, the natural thing was that you need to eat. So the devil came and tempted him, since you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones to be made bread? Now, that's a natural thing that Jesus can actually turn. Okay, he has power. He has his own needs at that time. But what did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? This is important because many of us today base a lot of our decision based on what we need more than what the Spirit wants. Well, does that make sense? We make a lot of decisions based on what we need more than what we believe God wants or what God says. Okay? Now, in this situation, there was a deep need that Jesus has for food. But he, what did he say? In verse number 4, he said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, what Jesus was referring to, I may have a deep need. This is what I want. This is what I feel that I need. But God's word is more important. No, I need this, I need that, I need this, I feel I need whatever. But this is what God says. And Jesus will choose to do what God says. Okay? When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will actually overcome the temptations that cause you to cater to ourselves. If you read the second one is also, first one is lust of the flesh, and the second temptation is the pride of life. Okay, I need this career, I need this education, I need this thing, and therefore I need to give myself to it. And you know what the devil does? In verse 7, "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." You know, in Singapore, many people worship money, worship career, they worship everything else. You know, God, the devil said, "I'll give you everything. You just bow and worship me." And what the devil does is that he gives us, the devil doesn't actually, he's actually not concerned about whether we worship him. Like, I don't think anyone will worship Satan. But I say, as long as I take your eyes off God, I'm happy. You want to feel good about being in a relationship, you want an education, you want a career, put your efforts there. I don't have to serve God one. You just have to follow me. And many Christians has been hooked in, or rather deceived into following that pathway and not actually doing what God says. Alright? When we're led by the Spirit, what we feel is our ambition. And like some of us are at that stage whereby we're looking at our future, what we're going to do next time. You know, it's very important for you to seek the Lord. You need to be praying about it. You need to be talking to concerned people in your lives. Not about what I think I want. Okay? Right? So this is the second one. And the third one, just very quickly, the third one is actually tempting God. Okay? The idea of tempting God, he says that in verse 10, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee." So basically the devil wanted him to put himself on the highest point of the temple and throw himself down. The angels will definitely take care of you, because that's what the Bible says. You know, sometimes we make decisions tempting God. God, it's okay if you don't attend, right? I mean, you understand, right? No. Last time I used to think that, if I got something urgent, I don't attend church. Now, well, I want to be very clear, huh? If there's a duty to do and you can't come, that's fine. Because you have a duty to do. But if you choose not to come, and then you have that idea and say, "God is okay, right? And I'm sure you understand." Try telling that to your boss. When you're okay, your boss or your school teacher, "Teacher, I know I need to be in class, but you know what? I need to stay at home and play computer game lah. I hope you understand. I'm sure you understand." No, he won't. There's a place of what we call spiritual responsibility. Many Christians are shirking spiritual responsibility. And that's a very important principle that as believers, when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we will actually take God's spiritual responsibility as absolutely important. Okay? And this is an important principle as a believer we have to. So, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome temptations as the Lord Jesus did. Okay? Then in verse 15, let's move on. In verse 15, we will do the work of God in teaching. Okay? In verse 15, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. So the Lord Jesus was a rabbi. He taught the people the word of God. Okay? All of us can teach each other the word of God by sharing our testimony, by sharing with each other what we learn under the influence of the Spirit of God. Okay? And sometimes it's more useful to tell other people what you learn from God's word. Okay? Verse 16 and 43, in the life of Christ, when he was under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he fulfilled his spiritual duty. Notice in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, as his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, this is a passage that I want all of us, as you grow up, to understand. The habit of Jesus was to be in the place of worship. The habit of Jesus was to be in the place of worship. Okay? In the Jewish culture, every Sabbath day was synagogue time. No one missed it. That was his habit. As Christians, we must set the habit. If the church, or rather, if the church do have like Wednesday nights, Friday nights, and as much as life in you, set that as a priority. Because that would demonstrate your dedication to the Lord, and that would demonstrate that you feel that these are all important times of prayer time in Friday nights, in youth time, where the Word of God is being taught for youth. I want to say that the youth leaders actually take time to prepare the lessons, and so it is for your feeding. Think about, take this for example, if I prepare a meal for you and you don't come. Actually, the Holy Spirit is there to teach. Okay, and this is a very important principle. Or for Sunday school, many people will not get this lesson because they're not here. They're not here. And when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you do want to come under the teaching of God's word. Okay, and Jesus' habit was to be in the services. And it's a very important principle. All right? So under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will fulfill your spiritual duty. Verse 43. Let me just look at that. 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will want to fulfill your spiritual duty. Okay? The next one, the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be with graciousness. Look at verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they say, is not this Joseph's son? When we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, our words, our conversation will always be with grace to the person that we're talking to. Okay? Now, grace doesn't mean that we always talk nicely. Sometimes grace can be rebuke, meaning that you will actually face the person and say, look, God says this, I believe you need to get this right, all right? So graciousness is there. Verse 32, Luke chapter 4, we will also have the power of the Spirit in our teaching and in our work. The Bible says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. This was the life of Christ. He was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. When he teached, people could recognize that there was power in his teaching. Okay? There was power in his teaching. And then in verse 33 and 36, in the life of Christ, when he was under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we will overcome our trials in life. In verse 33 to 36, in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What? Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Okay? When the Lord Jesus Christ was under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the devils couldn't stand him. They had to get out. They had to get out. When we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Bible did say, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we submit to God and allow God's Holy Spirit to take over, the devil has to flee. Okay, in temptations, and sometimes in trials, sometimes we may have fears. Okay, but when we submit to God first, we will actually, the devil will flee from us, all right? Any questions? I just want to give you a kind of like an overview of the life of Christ. These are the things that happened in his life. When the Bible says in verse 1, he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was led by the Spirit. Okay, now we're going to look at about 12 things, okay, as a believer. What happens when we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Okay? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 first. I'll start there. Ephesians 5, we'll come back again after that. Okay, let's read together, all right? Ready? 1, 2, go. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Here, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be influenced by something else. Okay, in those days, it's alcohol. Don't be overwhelmed by alcohol. Don't be intoxicated by alcohol, that you behave in a certain way. All right? And the principle is very clear, I hope, that sometimes we get influenced by different things in our lives. It could be by the culture in which we live. Many of the young people, they are influenced by the school culture. They behave in a certain way because that's how the school students behave. Okay, sometimes you go to the workplace, or workplace people will behave in a certain way and we follow that culture. We need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit all the time. The Bible says, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, be filled with the Spirit has the idea that you voluntarily put yourself under the control of the Holy Spirit. Example, in the morning when you get up, you feel very grumpy, you feel like, I don't like the day. But then after that, you're influenced by what? The flesh. You don't feel like going to school, you don't feel like going to work, and all the rest of it. But then you remember you're a Christian. Okay, then after that, you wash up and all that, then you do your Bible reading perhaps, you pray, say, Lord, I'm sorry for a lousy attitude this morning. I want to submit to you now. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and control my thoughts, my words, my actions as I work with my colleagues and take control of my life as I move out today. And that's when, after the reading of the Word, understanding, and when you pray, you be serious-minded about it. And of course, one of the things I'm thinking through about this is a moment-by-moment submitting to the Holy Spirit. Moment-by-moment. In other words, as you pray there, you walk out, you continue your prayer together with God. All right, it's not kind of, to some people it's a mystical thing. It's not, it's just talking to God. Say, Lord, you know, it's raining, and Lord, I'm scared I'll get wet. Can you hold the rain? And then, Lord, you know, I've got a test today, and Lord. And you begin to let God. And all the, you know, one thing about being led by the Spirit is that when you're filled with the Spirit, God's words, God's principles, God's approach, God's love, God's word becomes a priority. Example, as you're walking along the road, you see someone fall down, okay, or maybe you see someone may have a need. You actually stop and you pray, Lord, what can I do to help him? Does it make sense? I hope we can begin to realize that when we're being influenced by the Holy Spirit, that's why I believe one of the things, if you put this on all the time, it depends on whether it's Christian music or otherwise. If it's not Christian music, or it's not Christian words, you're only filling yourself with what you want to hear. And you need to be very careful because it may just... That means you're basically influenced by the music that you're listening. Does that make sense? Okay, music is a big influencer, all right? And music can actually take your mind off God, depending on what kind of music you're listening to. Okay, you just have to be very careful there, okay? So be filled with the Spirit of God, meaning that you intentionally want God to control you that day. All right. So what happens when you are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Okay, we'll go through the book of Acts for a bit. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Okay, maybe I just get people to read, so a bit faster, hopefully. So if I can get Catherine, Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Joanna, you can turn to Acts chapter 4 verse 8. And then Sister Allison, Joanna, Acts 4, 8 and 4, 13. Okay? And Sister Allison, Acts 11, 24. Then Brother Tim, if you can turn to Acts 4, 31. Sister Jamie, you can turn to Acts 10, 38. Then, Joy, you can turn to Acts 13:52. And then, Lydia, you can turn to John 16:13. Yeah, then we stop there first, okay? Okay, what happened in the book of Acts to believers who are under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Parts of the earth. Okay, so Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. What's a witness? What's a witness? Someone who testifies of Christ, right? Sorry? Right? What is it? So winner? So the spirit-filled Christians are? So winners. So does that mean if I'm not wanting to win souls, I'm not filled with the Spirit? Answer is absolutely yes. When we are influenced by the Spirit of God, souls are on our hearts. Many Christians in Singapore don't have that anymore. But in the Bible, God says, when you receive the power of the Spirit of God, you will be a soul winner. Now, it doesn't mean that you win souls all the time, but you want to share your faith. You want to tell others of your faith. All the time. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Jonah. From verse 13. Okay. Spirit-filled Christians are bold and courageous. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they actually spoke to the leaders of their days. Okay, and you say, ye elders, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. It's just like someone, a fisherman, telling Tony Tan, our president, sir, you know, and telling him that, well, of course, in the context, in the time in Acts chapter 4, he was confronting the Pharisees who actually put Jesus to death. You know, as a fisherman confronting the religious leaders of your day, you need a lot of courage. But the Bible said when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they were willing to speak boldly. Now, Peter loved, I'm sure, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he loved the religious leaders, but he had to tell them their fault. And you need a lot of courage to tell people faults. Okay? Now, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the soul winners, and you are bold and courageous for Christ. Okay, Acts chapter 11, verse 24. Okay, this is an interesting verse. For he, actually, if you read the context, refers to Barnabas. Okay, he, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's actually a good commentary on his life. And of faith, and guess what? And much people were added to the Lord. He's a soul winner. Because of his influence, or rather because of the Holy Spirit influence in his life, people were being added to the Lord. Okay? And this is a very, very important principle as we move forward in our Christian growth in life. And some people may not understand what does this mean. So it simply means that when I'm saved, when I have the Spirit, I want to tell other people the gospel. Okay? So spirit-filled Christians are courageous and they are bold. Acts chapter 4, 31, another verse. The filling of the Holy Spirit will cause a person to speak the Word of God with boldness. Okay, it doesn't just mean the preacher, it can mean anyone. Okay, so it could be that you are at your tabletop dinner or lunch with your friends or whatever, and you know, in your mind you say, you may think in this way, Lord, how can I share the gospel or how can I bring out your name? You know, whenever you are in a group of unsaved people, always ask for an opportunity to share. Okay, and that's where God can open doors for you when you actually pray. Meaning, when you pray, say, God, I would like to be able to at least share the gospel with this person who is not saved, you know. And sometimes, in order to open the conversation, I thought, wow, the economy is really getting bad at this time. And there's all the, you know, have you heard of Russia and all kinds of, just trying to lead in. Then after I throw in, oh, I don't know, in Bible prophecy, start to actually Yeah, and some people may get interested and you are able to open that conversation. Okay, this is something that as Christians, we need to be always actively, proactively trusting God and the Holy Spirit to help us to want to share the Word of God with the people around. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Okay, what do spirit-filled Christians do when they're filled with the Holy Spirit? Based on this verse. They go about doing good. In other words, spirit-filled Christians are people who don't think about themselves only. They think about what other people need. And they will be kind to the people. They will be going out their way to do good. And the Lord Jesus, Bible says, went about doing good. And he went through everywhere, healing the sick, doing good. What doing good means what? Doing things that will benefit and that will advance the life or that will promote the life of the other person. I like one quote that was actually mentioned. Jeremiah was reading a book, and he was talking about. I'll just read the quote. He says that if you're always doing good for others, what about yourself? And then there was someone else who said, we're in this to do good for others, not about ourselves. It's not about ourselves. When we're Christians, our goal as Christians is so that we do good for someone else, but it's not about ourselves. It's not about ourselves. It's not about what I can get out of it. We do good because someone else needs it. Okay? Does that make sense? And it is something that as Christians, as we grow, that's why we need God. We need the Holy Spirit to really teach us this important truth that when we serve as Christians, it's always for someone. For VBS, sometimes you'll never get anything from the children. Except complaints and how come the food's so cold and the game's not nice. But you know you're putting your effort, you've done your best. You know, at the end of the day, when we serve, it's always for the other person. It's nothing for ourselves. Okay? However, God says that if you give, I'm going to give back to you. And that's something that as believers, as we grow in Christ, we need to understand that when we go about doing good, sometimes we are not going to receive for ourselves, but God will reward us. Okay? Okay. All right, next one. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. Okay. So now for spirit-filled Christians have joy. Okay? Spirit-filled Christians have joy. What's the meaning of joy? You laugh like a clown every day? No. Doesn't mean that. that's just laughing. That's not joy. You can have joy even in the most terrible times in your life. Amen? Because your joy is not dependent on your situation. Joy is dependent on the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. In other words, you can go through the most terrible times. But when you have the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, thank you. I can still know that I'm saved. I have friends who love me. And Lord, this is a tragedy, it's difficult or whatever. But God, I know that in you, I can still have joy. Okay. And by the way, in Acts chapter 13, the Christians were not going through an easy time. A lot of Christians were being persecuted and all that, but they could have joy because the Bible's disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's why they could have joy. All right, next one, John 16:13. Shall not speak of himself. Okay, so spirit-filled Christians, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. Spirit-filled Christians can understand the Word of God. Okay, there's an understanding of the Word of God. Okay, when a person says, I don't really understand now if it's because of English and all that, but over time, you will begin to see the truth of the Word. You know, one of the indications when the person reads the Bible and says, I don't waste my time, I cannot understand all this one. Don't talk to me about this. He has no interest. When you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, you will want to understand. It's just like a person who, this is just a practical illustration. I joined a course, perhaps a computer science, and all the language. And I really, maybe using my own example, when I was in Australia, one of the things about Australia, we actually have to learn all the nerves. There's four main nerves, and we have to know where all the nerves go to, or the small ones and all that. I told myself, okay, within 2 hours, I need to know this. Okay, what we have in our examinations is that, I don't think they'll do it in Singapore, in NUS exams, but our lecturer will be there in the swimming trunks. Okay, in swimming trunks. And he'll ask you to draw the nerves in his body. To see whether you know where the nerves go. Roughly, they will draw and all that. Okay. Now, for a person who's not interested in that, I don't want to waste my time to learn and all that, but a person who's really interested, influenced by the Holy Spirit, he'll want to learn, he'll want to grow. Okay? An understanding of the Word of God, wanting to hear God's Word, is all actually important indications of the influence of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:6, we're of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of God and the spirit of error. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will hear the Word of God. This is very important in preaching time, in your Bible reading time, in your youth meeting time. In any time you hear the Word of God, the Bible says, we are of God. He that heareth God heareth us. He that has a heart, has a relationship with God, will hear the preaching of the Word, no matter how boring the preacher is. Okay, as long as it's the Word of God, he is open, he is willing to listen. He that is not of God heareth not us. He don't want to listen. It's very sian. I'm concerned as pastor, and sometimes when people sit, there are people who sit in the service and Google and will... This is actually happening all over the world, even in Singapore, that during service time, people are Googling. That is total disrespect for God. Okay? And it's something I hope we don't do. It's a total disrespect for the preaching of God's Word. That person is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want to hear God's Word. He has no respect for God. Okay? And it's something I want us to... I can tell you, next time when you sit beside someone and he's Googling and say, excuse me, maybe would you... If you're under the Holy Spirit, you say, let's concentrate. Of course, you don't scold him. You say, can we just concentrate on God's Word? You know, let's just hear what God has to say. And you know, the person who is under influence of the Spirit will say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Okay, this is important. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you won't want to hear God's Word. You know, as pastor, I wish I can sit down there and get someone to preach. Because I want to hear God's Word. And it's important. And I want us to always have a student attitude when it comes to God's Word. That we always want to learn new. There's always something new. Always something that God wants to teach us. Okay? So, but when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will want to hear the Word of God. Alright? Okay, the next one is Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn there. There's a few passages over there that I want to use. Ephesians chapter 5. And these are some of the principles of the Christian life. Okay? That tells us that we are walking in the Spirit. Okay, so these are some of the things. These are very practical ones. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Sister Naida, if you can read that. Ephesians 5, 15. Okay, what does circumspectly mean? See that you walk carefully, diligently. See that you live your life in a careful way. Not a frivolous way. Not a way that just whatever I want to do, I just do. Okay? There are times to rest. There are times to say, okay, I need to improve on this. We need to live our life in a careful way. All right? So point number 7, if you are under the control of the Holy Spirit, you will be walking wisely in your lives. You walk carefully. Not as fools. Fools live as if there is no God. And fools will live their lives without any regard that one day we will have to give an account of ourselves at the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul was talking to Christians, by the way. Okay? He says, don't live your life. Live your life carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Okay? So you're walking wisely in your lives. Ephesians 5:16, Ray Gerald, you want to read that? Okay, a spiritual Christian will redeem the time, you'll buy back time. Whatever time you have, you will actually do what you can so that if you have extra time, you say, I better do this first so that next time I got more time for other things. You'll be redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does that mean? You need to redeem the time because the days are evil. What does it mean? Anyone? What does it mean? Redeem the time because the days are evil. How many of you can control what happens tomorrow? Well, how many of you can control what happens 2 hours from now? You can't, right? And sometimes what happens 2 hours from now is so devastating that you have to throw down everything and deal with that. What Paul is saying is, redeem the time. If you have time to do what you can now, because the days are not on your side. Meaning that you may think you have a long time. Example, I think there was this Christian doctor. I think he lived his life was for riches. All he lived his life was for whatever. He was a good doctor, apparently, and then he was struck with cancer. Then he became a Christian. Then he realized actually he only have 10 months to live, and he just in the short 10 months he did more in his life to tell people about God and all that. And then of course he died in the end, but. He is saying that, look, my Porsche and my bungalows and all, it doesn't really benefit me, really. Okay? You know, Christians, don't think that you will live tomorrow. Have that attitude whereby, whatever I need to do now, I better do my best. Especially with regards to your Christian life with God. Okay? If you have opportunity to read the Bible, read it. Okay? Don't do other things. Okay? If there are other things that you need to do, always do things because you want to live your life carefully. Alright? You need to redeem the time. And point number 9, Ephesians chapter 5, 17. Okay? Joseph, you want to read that? Ephesians 5, 17. Okay, a peripheral Christian will not live a life unwisely, but you will be understanding and doing the will of the Lord. Okay, doing the will of the Lord. Okay, for example, students right now, what's the will of the Lord for you? It's to study, but you're a Christian student. So what is your priority? Everything related to Christ is first. Okay, it's very important in that you need to understand what the will of the Lord is, even for adults. What is the will of the Lord? Even for housewives, what are the will of the Lord? Even for people who are working, what's the will of the Lord? Alright? We need to understand what the will and how we are going to do God's will where we live. Okay? Point number 10. Okay, Ephesians chapter 18 to 25. Chapter 5 verse 18 to 20. Your heart will be filled with songs and joy and thanksgiving. Alright? If you read the whole thing, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will always have joy and thanksgiving in your heart. Okay? You'll always be thankful. Have you ever seen people who always complain about things? Have you ever met people who always complain? Complain, complain. It's not complain queen or complain king. They complain. You know, if he's a Christian is complaining, he does not have the influence of the Holy Spirit. Okay? A Christian who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit will always be thankful. He'll always be thankful for things that happen in his life. Alright? Good or bad. Okay? Can you be thankful for bad things happening in your life? Can you be thankful for it? You may not be thankful for what happened, but you can be thankful in it. Okay, example, if I break my leg. Alright, that's a bad thing. I say, oh, no, God, I thank you, I broke my leg. No, that's not a good thing. I say, Lord, I thank you, I broke one leg, not both legs. You know, I'm thankful that I broke my leg, I didn't lose my life. You know, D.L. Moody was robbed one time. Some of you may know D.L. Moody, he's an evangelist. He was robbed in the streets of London one time, I believe. And then he gave thanks. He gave thanks. He said, "Thank God I'm alive. Thank God he only took my wallet." Okay? He thank God I'm not the thief. There are things to be thankful for. Alright? Yeah, you may lose all your money, but you know, D.L. Moody was able to, even in those situations, give thanks. And that is a very, very important principle of the Christian life, being able to see things from God's perspective and be thankful for it. Okay? The next one, Ephesians 5, verse 21. When you're under the control of the Holy Spirit, you'll be in submission one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Okay? Submission is a very important principle of the Christian life. Submission. Submission. Submission to the authorities in your life. Okay? What are some authorities in our life that we need to submit to? Your bosses? Okay. What else? Parents, yeah, okay. What are the other authorities? Pastors, okay. What else? Government. These are the authorities. And sometimes it may just be your younger brother being submission to your older brother. Okay? And of course you can check, but because by virtue of his age, or maybe dad told the elder brother, "Can you please make sure they do this?" And then the brother said, "Hey, can you please go and fold the clothing and all that?" He said, "Who are you? Tell me what to do." All right? Once there's a, let's say the dad or the mom tells the elder son to do something in the family, well, not all the others should follow because they were delegated authority. Okay? You know, if we would just learn to listen to one another and do what is told, life will be wonderful. Okay? This submission is a very important principle. In the army, for example, the submission is either you submit or you get charged. Okay? And one of the things, actually, I learned something from my commander last time. He says, "You know why, Johnny, we do this? So that in times of war, we don't have people who are smart and like want to ask questions. Sir, why must go here, cannot go there? In times of war, we have no time to ask questions. We need people to be absolutely willing to listen and just go. Okay? And sometimes it's hard because you say, "Cannot lah, that shouldn't be the way." But in times of war, you have no time to think. You just have to obey because there are higher authorities who know what is happening in the battle. They just need us to do the job and do it well. All right. There was one. I was watching this. Some of you may know Normandy. Okay, it was an attack, and apparently the Allied forces, as they go onto the beach, as they were trying to attack the Nazis, Nazi Germany can't get in. And they were trying very, very hard. And as they were trying to get in, there was a commander on this warship that is desperately wanting to fire into to help them, but he cannot. He can't actually do it because his job, according to his higher command, is not to support the people there, but to protect the ship. And he cannot do anything. He was like, "I just want to fire a few to help them, you know." But he can't because it was part of a bigger picture. Okay? But thankfully, the Allied forces went in, and then the command was given to fire into the place. So, you know, submission is very important in every area of our lives. Jesus had to submit to God the Father to die at the cross. And he struggled with that. But you know, it's interesting what he said. "Father," remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me." That means, "Lord, do I really have to die on the cross? Do I really have to do that? Is it possible for this cup?" Cup means the idea of the trial. "But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I believe the Lord was teaching us a very important principle that we may not understand everything, but to still submit and obey is still the best thing. Okay? And I believe as a Christian life, submission is a very important principle of the influence of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Any questions on that? Yes, sir. Okay? First Timothy 5. Rebuke not an elder. First Timothy 5. Right? Rebuke not an elder, but I treat him as a father. Is that the verse it's referring to? Right? 5 verse 1. Is that the verse? Yeah. So what's the question? Okay. Paul was teaching Timothy, who was a younger pastor. And Paul was teaching the pastor, when you approach someone who is older and who is doing wrong, he said, don't scold him, but plead and treat him as a father. That means, for example, let's say I'm a pastor and then maybe Joseph see I'm doing something wrong. Okay, let's say like, I'm smoking or whatever. He don't come and say, Pastor, you shouldn't be smoking. You. He said, Pastor, you're the pastor. You know, it's very bad testimony for everyone to see you smoking. Would you stop? You see the difference? So what Paul was teaching Timothy was to have enough respect for someone who is older, but still deal with that person in a pleading sense, meaning in a respectful way. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So it doesn't mean, okay, but later on it gives you some principles that when you rebuke elder, someone who is older, but later on it talks about if you have the idea of the elder as a pastor, then if you want to bring an accusation against a pastor, you make sure you have two or three witnesses. You make sure you will have the two or three witnesses. Yeah, to make sure that it's not just your own. Yeah? Does that help? What do you mean by don't look at it? That means what? You don't... Even if you do wrong, do right?
He didn't say about wrong, but whatever it is, it's the out of pastoral. It's because maybe if that they are pastors, so they don't do wrong.
Oh, we need to be careful. I dare not say that, lah. We're all humans, but I think what we can do is actually among the men, we can actually still help one another. You know, as pastor, I will, of course, I'll be very clear when you're preaching, it must be based on God's word, but in terms of doing things, sometimes it's needful for other men to just kind of give you some insights to make sure that things are doing the proper way. Yeah, okay, so hopefully that helps a bit, but in terms of the submission part, I hope we all understand submission must be in the family, okay? Submission must be in the family. Okay, for children to submit to moms and dads, not just dads, moms and dads, dads and moms, all right? And don't ever look down on mom or whatever, because God actually put those authorities over the family, okay? And also, of course, in the church, there's pastoral authority, okay, in submission, but also for governments as well, okay? All right, two more points and then we're through. Let's turn to Romans 8:13. Okay, if you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, what happens? Romans 8:13. Let's read that. Ready? Let's read that together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if we through the Spirit do modify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay, as a Christian, if you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll be using the Holy Spirit to kill off sin in your life. Okay? The Holy Spirit will be your avenue and your ability to kill off sin in your life. Okay, if you're still holding on to sin in your life, the Holy Spirit will convict you. He wants to help you to get rid of that sin. But you need to submit to Him through the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can deal with sin in your life. Okay? Only the Holy Spirit can deal with sin in your life. But you must submit to Him. You know how we submit to Him? By obeying what he says. By obeying what he says. Okay? How do we deal with sin in our lives? How do you deal with sin in our lives? Let's say there's a sin in your life right now. How do you deal with sin? Sorry? Pray? Okay, definitely pray, but okay. So, but how do you practically deal with sin in your life? Sorry? Okay, repentance, definitely. Repent. Okay, let's say it's... So that means you change your mind. Repentance simply means... Last time I used to think it's right. Now I don't think so anymore. That's repentance. Okay, then what else? Sorry? Keep away. Okay, some things you can keep away, some things you can't. You can't keep away from yourself. Okay, but some things, yeah, definitely if you go to that place and you always fall into sin, you stay away from that place. Okay, what about friends? And your friends is the one that's causing you to sin or maybe giving you cigarettes or whatever. So what do you have to do? What do you do with your friends? So what do you do with your friends? All this in secondary school, you need to know this. So what do you do if your friends actually are telling you dirty jokes, are getting you? So what do you do? Yes, sir. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So, okay, so how does that apply to the students in school? Don't participate? What do you mean? I don't think, you don't quite reprove them. Okay. No, in... you will score them. That's how I used to think that, because no one taught me. So what do you do? Let's say you're in a group of friends, there's always no, or they always show you things, some bad things, so they show you, you know, that kind of thing. So what do you do? Consent down now, okay. That means, in other words, say, sorry, I'm not going to. You need to have the courage and the guts to stand up and walk away and say, I'm sorry. I still care for you and my friends, but I cannot participate in that. If you're a Christian spirit influence, you will find that you will need to do that. If you have no guts to do that, you have no boldness to do that, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And it's something that, as you grow in Christ, you need to trust God and say, Lord, I want to be pure and holy in your sight. But Lord, you know, I'm in the midst of this. You know, if you know how to actually get your friends to stop, keep telling them about Christ. Keep sharing to them about your faith. And say, I'm afraid I can't see that because it's this or what. I'm a Christian. And tell them that you're a Christian from the start. It helps. But of course, after you tell them you're a Christian from the start, you need to maintain your testimony. Because otherwise, they think that you're a sham. Okay? So, you'll be killing off sin in your life. And for us who have sin, the way to deal with sin is, number one, to repent. You must see sin as absolutely gruesome, not gruesome, absolutely wrong in the sight of God, that it cost Jesus his life, number one. If we don't see sin as that terrible, we will never give it up, number one. Number two, let's turn to Mark chapter 9, all right? Let's give you this. Mark chapter 9. Partly what Brother Alduin mentioned, you need to walk away from it. Mark chapter 9 and verse 45, I believe. Okay, it's chapter... Nine and 43, okay? Let me just read that. You listen to the scriptures. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell and the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 45, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life. Verse 47, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Is God asking us to cut off our hands and pluck off our eyes? Okay, I think we all know. Okay? Please understand this. We're not ISIS. Okay? Some people take it so literally in some of the countries of this world, they literally, when they do wrong, they chop off their own hands first. You chop off your own hand, the sin is here and the sin is not here. Does that make sense? The sin is here. The sin is here. It's not here. But what Jesus is saying, take drastic measures. Take drastic measures. If your computer is the one causing you to sin, get rid of it. If your smartphone is the one that brings all those bad influences, tell mom, mom, don't have to renew my subscription. Give me a candy bar phone. Oh, no more already, I think. Oh, they face out 2G now. Minimum 3G. Or whatever, you know. No, if there's something that is causing you to sin, get rid of it. That's why Jesus is very, very, what you call, extreme. I think if your eye offend you, pluck it out. Do you realize that you, if you're lusting and you pluck out your eyes, it's not going to help you because your lust is here. But what is he saying? Get rid of it. Take the drastic measure. If we're unwilling to take the drastic measure, it means that we still like it. We haven't repented. And that's something that, you know, as we grow in our Christian life, some of us will have to make a decision about that. Yes, sir? How effective are? For what? Deal with sin? Deal with sin, Okay. Your question is: does fasting help you to deal with the sin? Yes and no. It will help you to deal with the sin if you are willing to give it up and do all you need to carry of it. Even give up your job, even move to another country if need be. Do the extreme measure. Say, I cannot stay here anymore. I cannot. I must. Okay. It won't help you. You can fast and pray all you want, but if you're not willing to do anything about it, you'll still be in that sin. I'm fully convinced that many Christians say, oh, let's pray about it, pray about it. It's not going to work. You have to make a decision to deal with that sin. And if this friend is causing you to sin, you say, I'm sorry. You ask God for wisdom how to separate from the friend in a way that will still show him or her the love of Christ. If a situation is causing you to sin, then you have to say, look, I cannot be in there anymore. This is very drastic. Many churches don't teach this, but I believe with all my heart, if a Christian wants to deal with sin, you must be so drastic. You can fast and pray till the cows come home. You can fast 100 days. It's not going to help you if you're not willing to deal with the sin. Dealing means you will look at who, what, why, and you cut those things out. If my job is causing me to sin, I'll leave it. If my friends is causing me to sin, I will say, if all your friends, you're just filled with the environment that's so wicked, you may just tell your mom, I prefer to homeschool. I prefer to stay home and learn. Because your Christian life is so important to you that you say, Lord, mom or dad, I will cut myself from here. I'll give up this so that I can be pure before God. Does that make sense? When you are willing to be drastic, you know, when people in the Old Testament or New Testament take the Nazarite vow, or when they really separate themselves from something, they really give themselves to it, to honor the Lord, okay? So please make no mistake about this. Dealing with sin is not about praying only. It's about taking action. It's about taking action. If we say that we don't deal with sin, we take no action, we deceive ourselves, Satan is happy, we trap ourselves, and Satan tightens his grip. And you know what we will say? We'll say, well, I prayed about it before, it didn't help. You know why it didn't help? You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. Telling yourself you're going to do 3 or 5 chin-ups, but you don't go to the gym and exercise, you're just deceiving yourselves, you know. Okay, does that make sense? Please understand, dealing with sin is a very serious thing. Only the Holy Spirit can help us to be free. Many Christians are free from sin because they decisively take action. They decisively say no to certain things. They decisively say, I'm not going to play with that anymore. They decisively cut out certain things in their lives. Okay? The last one, you will have the fruit of the Spirit when you're under influence. Galatians 5, please. Galatians 5, 22. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit. When in Sect 3, I remember I had this friend, his name is Darius. He said, you know, the fruit is the fruits of the Spirit or fruit? Yeah, I was, of course, I think I know better than him. Fruits, no? He said, only fruit. There's only one fruit. When you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, all nine fruits will come out in your life. You cannot say, oh, Lord, I love you, you know, but I cannot stand this person. You're not controlled by the Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit controls you, all nine fruits will come out. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance, okay? So once you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, what does the last phrase mean? Against such there is no law. What does it mean? What does it mean? Sorry? You'll be perfect. Perfect, mature lah. Use the word mature, not perfect as in no sin lah. Okay, that's what it means really. When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, no one needs to tell you what to do. No one needs to tell you how to behave. When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you know how to behave in a polite way. You know how to deal with problems in a constructive way, in a way that will help. You know how to keep quiet when you have to. You know how to be patient with someone or long-suffering with someone when he's really, really off. That's when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? That's why against such, there is no law. There's no need for any laws to be written against that person. He knows how to behave. Because when the Holy Spirit takes control of you, you'll behave right. All right? Okay, your memory verse is Ephesians 5:18. Okay, Ephesians 5:18. Just don't any questions? Now, there's some good questions like dealing with sin and all that under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Fasting is definitely important, okay? I just want to clarify that. When I say, a lot of people can say they fast and pray, but if you deal with sin, actually, when you deal with sin, unless it's an entrenched problem, it's an old problem, a very long-time problem, dealing with sin many times requires us to be accountable to someone else. Because many people want to deal with sin themselves. And that's what Satan wants. You know why? When we deal with sin, put it this way, when we want to deal with sin ourselves, we sometimes cut corners. Whereas if someone else is saying, no, you got to do this. Really? I know you got to do this. You say, okay, I'll submit to that. Dealing with sin is so important that we must be willing to be accountable. So if you fast and pray, you get another godly brother or sister and say, I need to deal with this. I need your help. So just make sure you keep me in tab. I give you full permission to scold me or whatever, if I break or whatever, and you're willing to submit to that. Okay? We need to. Some of us may have sins in our life that we need to be dealt with. We need to grow under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that God wants to deal with sin. By the way, God is still wanting to deal with sin. God cannot stand sin. He still cannot stand sin in His Christian, in his children. He cannot stand sin in His church. He cannot stand sin in our own lives. He's still dealing with sin. So if you do have those, tell someone, you know. Or if you believe that God is going to give you strength, do it. Do it. Remember, dealing with sin requires action. Okay, if there's no action, then it's not going to change. Okay? Just say pray about it. It's not going to help. In fact, God has given many principles in the Bible that all we need to do is obey it. Alright? Okay? Any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. We can just talk about or learn, Lord, from your word that when you were under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Father, you, the Lord Jesus, was able to overcome temptation. He was able to fulfill his spiritual responsibilities. He was able to preach with power. He was always doing good. And for us as believers in Christ, Lord, even as we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we are able to overcome sin, we will hear your word, we will be soul winners, etc. And Lord, I pray all these things will be real in our lives. Father, change us to be people under the influence of the Spirit. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.